above the horizontal.
Pushes away from McCulloch. Thurston gets the ball to Morgan. Morgan crosses the 20. Comes away to O'Neill. Gets the ball. Felder scores. Felder scored in the corner.
Welcome to Above the Horizontal, a podcast about rugby league. I'm your host, Bo Nicholson, and tonight we're going to be mainly focusing on State of Origin. Of course, Game 2 has come and gone, and what an impressive victory from New South Wales. I was sat in the living room of Kieran Gibson, watching it with Kieran Gibson, and it was a dead silence for a lot of that first half. If I'm being quite frank, a couple of Queensland fans just sort of soaking it in, listening to our friends go off in the group chat about how good New South Wales were, and they were indeed. I'm sure that there is a person here very happy to talk about Game 2 of State of Origin. It's Daniel Friend, a very loyal Blues fan. Friendy, how are you feeling after last Wednesday?
Got a smile from ear to ear, Bo, amongst other things that you associate with being happy. So I'm very delighted to be back on the pod today.
Yeah, we will certainly get into how thrilled you were last week. Kieran, I did mention that there was a bit of a stunned silence. We're not the most parochial Maroons fans, I don't think, you and I, but we were sat there enjoying the football for what it was, but it was a tough pill to swallow, I suppose.
Definitely. Congrats to Friendy and his Blues, the Chats Blues. They were awesome. Gets us to a game three decider. But yeah, the opening stage of that game was hard to watch, but the longer it went on, I was just like, wow, this is just really awesome to watch. Absolute masterclass from the Blues.
Yeah, I was excited to see it. It reminded me of game one from 2021, where it was like, obviously it sucks that A, it wasn't a close game, and B, that our team didn't win. But it was just so impressive to watch, and seeing Latrell back in full flight, seeing Mitchell Moses in that sort of form, gee whiz, it was very impressive. Let's talk about it. We will hear from the Big E later on too, of course, but the Big E was at the game in Melbourne with his parents and his older brother, Sennan. That would not have been a fun time for the Big E, although he was pretty diplomatic about it. He did congratulate the New South Wales boys in the chat. Friendy, I'm going to let you have the first crack at this. Did you see that coming from New South Wales? I know that you tipped them to win, but with the changes that were made, you know, bringing in the likes of Trell Mitt, Dill Edwards, Mitchell Moses, Cameron Murray, and Connor Watson, did you see that blue wave coming?
I was much more confident, and I did think we would win. However, I don't think I've ever tipped Queensland, regardless of the situation, so that'll never happen.
Yeah.
But I was more confident, but yeah, no way. I thought it would be close, and I thought it would be close for a really long period of time. I thought it'd be a grind. I didn't see any of that coming, so it was good. It's a bit interesting, isn't it? I mean, both games, realistically, were kind of over after not too long, which in terms of a spectacle isn't great, but when you're on the right side of it, you'll take it.
And what do you think was like the key difference there? Because, you know, we talked about, I'm actually not sure if you were in the podcast when we talked about game one, but it was ugly for New South Wales. Obviously the send-off didn't help, but, you know, there felt like a lack of direction, even though you had good go forward and you were getting good field position and possession in game one. Just didn't have the icing on the cake, but this time icing was no problem whatsoever.
Yeah, there's plenty of icing all around the state. I think it's pretty plain to see, isn't it? The bloke in the number seven, whilst he may come across as a little bit arrogant and things like that, I think in that arena, wearing the number seven, you've got to be a bit arrogant and have a bit of swagger and boss the people around that you need to get them in the right positions and basically take charge regardless of what people think. And I think Mitch Moses did that. He was absolutely outstanding. Cam Murray in the middle, in that arena, he's just exceptional in and around the middle, around the ruck. So I think he made a difference too, and he really helped he and Payne Haas, real 1-2 punch there through the guts. So that got us rolling forward. But yeah, Mitch Moses, he was outstanding and completely just took the reins wholeheartedly. And I think that actually gives me a bit of confidence going up north for game three with him in the seven. I think you need that arrogance, and he's not going to be overawed by the situation, which is great.
If Nathan Cleary was named to play for Penrith this week, which he hasn't been, so I'm guessing that you're obviously happy for Moses to keep his spot. Would you have been tempted to bring in Cleary, which maybe would have meant dropping Luai?
Yeah, I would have been tempted for sure. I think you've got to pick your best team regardless of loyalty and all those sorts of things. I can understand, obviously, Nathan's not playing, so it's a moot point, but I would have no issue with Nathan Cleary playing in the six at rep level.
Yeah,
I actually think he'd be a great running six. He runs a heap. He's good kicking. He's strong defensively. I mean, most of the time they're split either side of the field anyway. So, and when they do link up, they can play first or second receiver, he and Moses. So it'd be like genuinely having two halfbacks, I guess, but sort of more onus on Nathan running in the six. And moving forward, I really wouldn't hate that idea, to be honest. So, yeah, I would have been tempted for sure, but I think Luai's been playing really well and he's earned his spot.
I agree with that, Kieran. As I said, it was awe-inspiring, really, from New South Wales. It's hard to be too upset at what Queensland managed. I mean, you know, New South Wales for that first half had 68% of possession, I believe it was, and that did even out throughout the game. The fix was in, of course, according to Jack McDonald in the chat. But how do you feel about Queensland's situation? Are you a bit worried at this point, or do we basically witness a 10 out of 10 performance from New South Wales that was just a juggernaut that we, you know, just bad luck and try your best next time? How are you feeling?
I'm a little bit worried, but I would have said I was a little bit worried even after game one, to be honest. I know we won the game, but the Blues played with a man down and played really, really well. I'm still not reading into it too much just because, I looked at the way the Blues attacked in that first half, and they really, really did their homework with some of their... I think the first four tries all looked like they were set plays. And just some defensive reads where some of the Queensland defenders were just not communicating, or just some mental lapses. So, that's what happens at Origin level when you're under the pump. You're going to have lapses like that because the Blues, they put in the work to ensure that those set plays would work. They were just, marching down. That was the other thing. I think their average set distance was like 48 meters per set. So,
yeah, like 11 more than Queensland. And 48 for I think it was like maybe it was 46, but whatever it was, that's very impressive.
Yeah. And, just hats off to, like, at the time, like, after like four tries, I was like, God, please stop. Like, I want Queensland to have a chance to win this game. And then, I don't know, I still wanted Queensland to win up until, like, I don't know, until I knew that they mathematically couldn't really win. But it was awesome. There was a point where I also just sort of stopped and marveled at what the Blues were doing. But a little bit worried about Queensland, yeah.
We are going to talk about some changes that might need to be made. Friendy, before we get to that, though, I'd love to hear your thoughts on Madge and what's been happening thus far. So, obviously, he's got his resume, of course, which includes winning a comp with the Rabbitohs. He had some tough times with the Rabbitohs and the Tigers. He won, an international competition, a tournament-style competition with New Zealand. And then, first game was what it was. Second game is what it is. Third game's coming up, including all of his media talking as well. I'm sure you might have heard him on the Matty Johns podcast by now. What's your impression on Madge and how he's going so far?
Yeah, I think he's doing a really good job. I think it's hard to sort of rate him on the first game, really, when he was like, we had 12 people straight away. So that's a little bit difficult. I thought they did a really good job last game, but that's also... it's a bit hard to rate him. The team was just so white hot and Queensland were just not at all. So I don't know necessarily if that was coaching or... But the one thing I did see last game in particular that I thought might have been something, a theme during the week or in camp or something like that. I thought the Blues bashed Queensland early, absolutely bashed them. And I reckon that's a Maguire trait. You think back to when he had the Burgess boys and then, I mean, even at the Tigers, that they tried to be tough. They tried to be resilient, all those sorts of things. So he certainly does that. From all reports, he still trains the house down in the gym in front of all the players and all that. So he's a tough bugger and he works hard. And I think you can see that in his coaching. I guess you look at, he seems to love a fight back, because if you remember the was it when the Kiwis beat Australia, that they got hammered the game before, by Australia, and then they come out and beat him 30-0. So he must have a bit of a rev up in him, and I'm sure he does a great job. It's hard to sort of know when you're not part of those squads or teams or actually in the inner sanctum, but I like what he's done. He sticks up for his players in the media and doesn't take any shit. So I'd like to play under him or something if I was a player.
I can see that. And to me, and I'll go to you on this one, Kieran, Maguire seems very calm at the moment. The series is 1-1. And if anything, on aggregate at the moment, Queensland would be in front if that was the case, on points differential. So it's not like, cause for calm or cause for concern either way, but Maguire seems very calm and in control of the narrative at the moment, whereas Slater, who is a bit of a classic for that, being in calm and control of the narrative and that sort of thing, is the narrative seems to have gotten away from him a little bit, and I'm starting to see just a couple of little cracks in the Billy Slater ethos and persona that has been delivered to the media. In terms of his calmness, Kieran, how do you feel about how the Queensland coach is going? Obviously, he's been treated like the Messiah a lot of the time. He won the first two series, but so did Brad Fittler. How's Billy Slater going at the moment, do you think?
The one thing I like about Billy in this situation is that I know he's not the type of person to be too arrogant. Like he willingly says in almost every interview and at the start of every series that I'm still nervous. I still feel very much under pressure. No matter what you guys say, this series is never over until literally the 80th minute of the deciding game with whichever team is ahead. So from that perspective, like I'm not worried that he's going to be too stubborn about his ways, but that interview where he just repeated we're still Queenslanders too, that was a bit out of character for Billy, and I guess that I don't know, like I'm an overthinker and overread. This is not something I would read into too much, but also I'm a Queenslander with maybe some bias. I mean, I really hope he's not a bit rattled and in his head about some things. I think to touch on what what Friendy was saying about Madge being a guy that you'd want to go to war with, that was one thing that Madge commented before the game about how there were a few instances in game one where Queensland were really rough with New South Wales players, and then game two, New South Wales did that from the kickoff. Mitch Moses purposely pushes over Ruben Cotter. And just, I mean, in my mind, I think a game should just be played with sportsmanship. But if one team starts to go outside those rules and you notice that it's having an impact and an influence on the game, then I think it's completely fair game the way Madge went with it. And I really liked that. And I hope that that's not where some of Billy's frustration is coming from, because, I mean, you employed the same tactics yourself in game one. I'm not sure. I'm really looking forward to game three, but to what to make of Billy's... I mean, it was out of character. Like, I am a little bit concerned about that, because I didn't expect him to go... Someone like Billy, I thought he was a straight shooter and not someone to sort of stray out of his lane, I guess, as you say, and do something like that.
It sounded like that coach whisperer had been in his ear being like, no, you just need to say we're still Queenslanders. Friendy, did you have a take on Billy Slater's recent antics and behavior?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you think about Billy's career, you think about basically rugby league as a whole, who was the most calm person you think of as a footballer ever, who was with Billy his whole career, who has been with Billy the first two camps, he's not there now, Cameron Smith. He's not there at the moment. And I reckon, yeah, there's just a few feds, because as good, Billy is, he's analytically brilliant. He was an awesome player. He's an absolute genius in terms of rugby league now. And I think Jonathan Thurston is the same. While he doesn't sort of verbally convey that all the time, I think he knows exactly what he's talking about as well. But I think both of them, if you watch them, even when they played in their playing careers, highly emotional players, really, really emotional, very, particularly Billy, like he used to get a little bit grubby, a little bit dirty and things like that. And that's an emotional thing. Thurston's emotion would come through in, he'd get white hot zoned in and create tries and that sort of stuff. But effort upon effort and all that stuff, where Smith, relaxed, laid back, calm, precise, all that stuff. And I really do wonder if he's being missed in the camps, and everyone's just a little bit shirty with everyone else, because Smith's not there and they're all a bit antsy, especially after a loss. So, yeah, I think it's something New South Wales can exploit, that's for sure.
It would be to the benefit of the Mudry Bar under 15s or whoever he's coaching these days, his kids' team he keeps talking about.
Imagine that. Cameron Smith is your coach. I saw, just like completely off topic, but I saw the other day running water for his kids' soccer team, Conor McGregor. Like, dead set, man. Like that stuff like that is pretty cool.
I actually have a similar-ish story. So when I was 12, under 12, under whatever, I wasn't a very good footy player, but I played in a team that was coached by Kerry Boasted, international, you know, Australian test winger, played 25 tests. But the problem was we were playing, so I was 12, so we were about the year 2000, and now Kerry Boasted was basically done by the 80s. So before we were even born, he was basically finished with his career, at least his top end, you know, international career. And none of the kids actually like had any sort of understanding of who this dude was, really. I did, because I was a nerd, and my dad was a nerd, and he kept telling me and showed me highlights and stuff. But Cameron Smith, you wouldn't have the same problem. That dude's on TV all the time. He's on the radio. He's maybe the greatest of all time, and very recent. So you're right. It would be, what a thrill. Let's talk about some changes that need to be made. First cab off the rank, Friendy, obviously New South Wales, not needing to make any changes from what I can tell. You know, fingers crossed, touch wood, barring any sort of injury. But are there any concerns for you with New South Wales? Obviously, it's a decider. It's a different beast altogether. Queensland will improve almost certainly. So is there some sort of like, even cosmetic changes within the team, like tactically, you know, Jake Trbojevic has played like an hour total so far, and he's the captain. Or are you thinking, nah, keep that 17 if you can, more of the same, and go to town?
Well, I mean, you've really got to keep the same side, I think. People miss that Jake's first 20 minutes the other night, defensively, man, he was good. He put everyone on their back. Slowed the Queensland ruck down completely, which negates Hunt, Harry Grant, guys like that. I think that's really important. Obviously, the casual watcher doesn't notice that because he doesn't have the ball in his hands. So, and they're not crazy hits or anything either. But if you go back and watch, mate, he's putting everyone on their back. And even to the point where people were like a foot off the ground, about to get to their elbows and knees, and he's flipping them. So I noticed that a couple of times. Whilst he doesn't have a huge impact, I think his role is pretty well defined at the start of the game to stop Queensland getting that roll on, and particularly up at Suncorp where it's a bit dry. Normally they start white hot, and I think that'll be important. So I'd still have him there. Is it wrong of me to want Reece Robson to have like an injury that lasts a week just so happy can come in?
A week would be nice because the Cowboys need him. They're in the eight at the moment. So
Well, Appy, mate, like dead set. You watch him play, and that guy is a stud. Like he is so good. And I can't understand how he's not in the team. Robson defensively strong, all that sort of stuff. But We may need more than just a shovel up there. So I hope he runs a bit more because it looks like they'll stick with him, obviously. Mm. But yeah, Appy would be someone I'd certainly bring in if given the choice. Other than that, yeah, I think it'll just be the same 17 and might be a couple of changes for Queensland, yeah.
Well, while I've got you, are there any changes that you predict? And do those changes worry you potentially?
Well, one does if they do it, and I don't know if they'll do it, but I mean, if anyone was going to, it's probably Billy. Mate, I'd pick Kalen Ponga on the wing.
On the wing?
Coates is out. So you're either going to bring in Gagai or Cobbo, realistically. Whether the other option is you may play one of them at centre. I'd be more confident in Cobbo playing centre than Holmes at the moment. But I'd still pick Val on the wing because I think Val is elite on the wing. In that arena. But all three of them, Cobbo, Holmes, Gagai, I think defensively, you're up against the big boy. So good luck. Yeah. I don't think it really matters who you have there. They're going to have their hands full. So I'd probably just leave Val and I'd dead set pick Kalen on the wing and have him floating. I don't think they'll do that, but it seems to me that the back five of New South Wales, their sole job is to get us up the field most of the time, whereas the back five of Queensland, they're not meter eaters at all. So if you're not really looking at that, I don't see why you couldn't pick Kalen on the wing.
Counter suggestion. What about Cobbo comes in? I think Cobbo deserves it. Gagai would be fine. I suppose, throw them on the wing or whatever. I don't mind the idea of shifting Val, to be honest, to the wing.
Yeah.
And then have Ponga on the bench instead of that Cobbo, like how they had in game one.
Yeah, certainly another option. All I'm thinking for you guys is if you have Kalen on the wing for 80 minutes, there's the potential to put him at fullback at any stage when you have the ball, which, like, man, I know Reece Walsh is dynamite too, but I don't think he has a try assist in the Origin Arena yet. So,
not this season.
Okay. If Kalen blows the lights out this week, man, it'd be hard not to put him in there somewhere anyway.
Kieran, I know you're a big Kalen Ponga fan. Are you looking at KP as an option as well?
100%. I mean, in my mind, I think it makes more sense for him to come in at the one or the bench. I don't know that I would put him on the wing. I think it would be a bit... Although Queensland have typically gone with two hookers and done fine with that when they've both been on the field. It's actually worked really well with Hunt and Grant having an extra playmaker out there. So,
yeah,
I mean, I'm... Maybe I'm overthinking this as well, but my main concern there was Walsh and Ponga can both have such a large influence. I don't know how that would go if they're both out there with Cherry and Dearden and whoever's at hooker. But yeah, I mean, I would prefer to see Ponga out there for 80 minutes though. So worst case scenario, I guess he comes in off the bench after 20 minutes. Otherwise, yeah, I mean, actually I wouldn't mind the wing. Definitely not the wing where Latrell is.
That's the one that's opened up.
Okay, well, I mean...
Latrell and Brian Toto.
Okay, well, that's another talking point because Jeremiah Nanai's side as well, right? Where he defends.
That's right, and Daly Cherry Evans. So the thing with Nanai is that he's had limited impact in this series. I would say we're used to him being an attacking back rower, especially playing for the Cowboys. But in the first two games, he's made almost 100 tackles. And he's missed a bunch in that space, but they're really targeting that edge and he is really working his ass off. And DCE, we've always talked about it, has that ability to go up past the ball sometimes, which can be a liability. He'll get the occasional intercept like that try for Coates in the first game, but sometimes it will be quite disastrous. So that is going to be a hot topic zone for sure in defense for Queensland, that right edge.
Yeah, and I'm almost thinking I don't know if I would persist with Nanai. I'm almost thinking either you put Cotter to second row and bring someone else in at front row, or Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at Fermor. I think he's quite defensively astute. I also don't think Sue is safe either. I don't know if he will, if Billy will, if he'll retain his spot with Billy selecting for game three. But yeah, defensively, I'm quite worried in some areas for game three. And I guess that's why I do kind of want Ponga to start at fullback as well. I think Queensland are going to have to score at least 18 points, bare minimum, to win the game. And Ponga is just, I don't know how many tries he has in Origin, but I reckon he would have to have at least one per game. And I really can't recall him ever having a bad game in Origin. Just elite at this level. And as Friendy said as well, I'd love to see Val on the wing. I think he's a elite winger, especially at this level. But yeah, I probably have more worries and anxieties than, oh, I don't know. I don't know. I think it'll be a very, very good decider. I'm really happy it's a decider and very close. But
let me throw this to you, Friendy. Does the name David Fifita scare you? He is lining up for the Titans this weekend.
Yeah, he's got to play. Has to play. You're going to have to score 26, 30 points up there to win the game. It's, we've seen this series this year in the competition. No one can tackle anymore, Origin or not. Like, there's 50-something points scored each game. You're going to have to score 30 points. It's all out attack. Defend your ass off when you can. But if it's dry and quick up there, you're going to need, 24 to 30 points to, like, at least four tries, if not five or six, to win the game. So, yeah, David Fifita has to play, in my opinion.
And to Kieran's point, so Fifita usually plays on the left edge for the Titans at the moment, which pairs him up with, well, it used to pair him up with Foran, but now it seems to be AJ Brimson's side with Jaden Campbell recently. That would be Jaden Sua that he'd be replacing as a straight swap, or do you look at Nane, or do you look at Fifita on the bench potentially instead of a Kafusi potentially?
I'd keep Kafusi. I reckon Kafusi's playing really good footy. Is there a reason you couldn't put Sua on the right? Nane misses out. I don't know. It depends what you're after. He is a noted try scorer, Nane, but I'm not sure you get much out of him other than in the opposition 20. Defensively, he's not super. He's not known for his meter eating, so he's not really an offloader. I mean, Fifita's played right side before as well, hasn't he?
He has, a lot.
And I mean, that would be your stronger half is playing on that side in Daly, so maybe that's the option. You get Daly Cherry Evans out next to Fifita. I mean, if I'm New South Wales, I'm looking to exploit that side defensively anyway, regardless if you've got Nane or Fifita. But maybe that's what you do. You flip and you put Sua over there and you put Fifita on the left, and you have, I mean, if you've got bloody Reece Walsh out the back, David Fifita running flat line, and then you've got Hammer outside that, that's Stephen Crichton's got his work cut out there. So plenty of options, but yeah, Fifita's got to play for mine.
Yeah, I think that one's a no-brainer. I like the Kalen Ponga chat. I would have Kalen Ponga there above Walsh. I don't think he's a more complete footballer. I understand that Walsh has played good football at this level. He, you know, played really well, especially the first, well, he only played the first two games last year. Then AJ Brimson came in when Queensland lost. So, I mean, he played really well last year. He's brave, he's talented, he's got unreal pace across 10, 15 meters. So it'd be unlucky for him to be dropped, I think. But I just think if Kalen Ponga, like you said earlier, if he shoots the lights out this weekend, gee whiz, he'd be hard to deny, as far as I'm concerned. And I think David Fifita is unlucky not to be there at all. I know he's had a few injury niggles, but you can't tell me that Sua particularly is a better back rower than Fifita. No. And I think Nane is lucky to be considered that as well. I'm with you. I think Fifita is a no-brainer. And I liked the whole back on the bench thing. You know, when they had Cobbo there for game one, it turned out to be a masterstroke. I'd love to look at that as an option again, maybe with KP. That's where it goes.
If Brimson plays well this week, is he an option at centre and you move Val to the wing? Or is it just going to be Gagai or Cobbo, like we think?
Well,
in that either wing or center, that side,
he is an option. He's done it before, I think. I think he had to mark. No, it wasn't Turbo that year. It was maybe Mitchell, actually, on the right side. I wouldn't go in that direction. I would go with a Cobbo, a Gagai, or a Holmes at right center. But I'd be curious to see what Kieran thinks.
I think you go Cobbo just because attacking wise, I think he's probably the best attacker. Defensively, I think Holmes is the best center of them all. And I think you have to pick the best defensive center against Latrell, but it also doesn't really, it doesn't even matter because it's Latrell. Latrell Mitt, that's it. It's just ridiculous what that guy can do.
I couldn't believe this is me on my soapbox now. I went on the, you know, I follow Bloke on a Bar and the Locker Room, what they call it, on Facebook, right? And one of the questions was, who are the certainties for New South Wales? And I listed, you know, Yeo, Murray, Cleary, Turbo, you know, all the ones that should be rock solid, dead set, pick them every fucking time they're available, certainties. Payne Haas. And I included Latrell Mitt, and the amount of blowback I got was fucking ridiculous because that dude is unreal at this level. He's incredible. And as a Queenslander, there's no one I want to see less than Trell. I like seeing Trell Mitt play because he's so good. But
it's purely people that just don't like him because he sticks up for what he believes in.
Yeah.
Which is just ridiculous. Like, it's not 1920 Australia. Like, piss off.
Yeah.
But he, honestly, if you put everyone at 100% of their capacity, like of their ability on a rugby league field, and they all play at 100%, Latrell is the best player out there.
No one comes close. Yeah.
No one, Everyone's awesome. You get Cleary, Ponga, Munster, Harry Grant, all these people, Payne Haas, everyone. But I'm telling you now, in terms of natural skill, ability, size, strength, put it all together, and if you want a perfect footballer, that's your guy.
Yeah.
Like, seriously.
Yeah, 13. I think it was Talis that might have said that. So 13 Trell Mitts beats everybody.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He said it about Inglis, I think.
Yeah.
Like 13 Greg Inglis has beat 13 Brad Fittlers or whatever it was. Yeah. And I agree. Latrell, he's 13 of him beats everyone.
Yeah.
Against 13 of them. Yeah.
I'm with you on that. Let's put a cork in the Origin chat until the teams are named this Sunday and Monday, being Queensland, because they always have that one day advantage for some reason. And you know, it's a conspiracy as far as I'm concerned.
What is that about? Why?
It's shit. I hate it. It should be announced at the same time at a conference,
a big press conference, like it's the bloody NBA or NFL. Like, pump it up.
Yep, exactly. Make it 7:30 on a Sunday night. It's an hour telecast. Both coaches get to talk through their selections.
Split each other.
Yep.
Each other.
Yep. And the reporters would love it. Everyone would love it. Put NDAs on everybody so they don't release the teams too early, like they always do. I would much prefer that for sure. But alas, it's not the way it is. We will hear at least by Monday all the teams for the game 3, and we'll talk about it next week with our predictions. But until then, let's hear from the Big E with his phenomenal tip of the week for round 18.
Hello boys, this is a Big E. I am going to do my Big E phenomenal tip of the week for today. My first Big E phenomenal tip of the week for today, for the first match coming up tomorrow, Thursday. I am going to tip South Sydney Rabbitohs, tipping the Rabbitohs, tipping the Sharks, tipping the Broncos, and actually, quickly reminder, by the way, between me, the Big E, and the Big K, my brother Kieran, we are going to Soccer Stadium this Friday night. I hope it's going to be a good match, though, but yep. And I'm also going to tip the Bulldogs for my Kevin Money. Tookies! And I'm also going to tip Storm, tipping the Cowboys. Sorry, Mrs. Desmond. I need to tip my team, the Cowboys. And also tipping the Roosters and tipping Newcastle Knights. That is my Big E Binolo tip of the week. And of course, I give straight to it, my wild card. I am going to say congratulations to the Cowboys that beat the Pittsburgh Panthers at home. Incredible. And, oh yeah, knock, knock, who's there? Big E, Big E who, Big E, yeah, what? That's a biggie, boys. Biggie out. Cheers, boys. Cheers, cheers.
Kieran, your brother is a loose unit.
He's... He seems more and more confident with every week with that bit he does for our podcast. Is
one day awesome. I'm taking him for so many beers.
Oh, he knows. He talks about it all the time. You and Josh apparently are going to take him out for beers.
Wait, can't wait.
That's of course Josh Donohoe from Beers in the Sheds, of course, with Daniel Friend as well. That was the Big E's phenomenal tip of the week. He's talking about round 18 coming up. It's going to be a very interesting round. We're starting to get to the business end of the season. So I'm very excited to talk about the following games. What we might do is I'll get you guys just to give your tips all at once, if that's okay. We'll start off with you, Friendy. What are your tips for round 18?
Well, at the moment, I can't tip a shovel. So good luck to everyone. I have the Bunnies, the Sharks, the Panthers, the Doggies, the Storm, Cowboys, Roosters, and the Mighty Knights to round out the weekend.
So that's... I can't recall. Did you say the Cowboys against the Seagulls?
I did.
Very good. Okay. Well, you can stay on the podcast then. and the Knights against the Raiders. Yeah, that's going to be a good game. That's down in Canberra.
We generally go all right down there for some reason. I don't know why, but... Yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
Were you finally happy to see Will Price get his crack at 5/8, by the way?
Oh, yeah. It was great. I mean, the blokes that they had in there previously, attack-wise, Price has got them covered. I like Gamble a little bit, but you can only offer so much, can't you, when you're a bit limited ability-wise. So, yeah, I was happy Price to get a go, but... The guys they had in there were missing tackles and stuff anyway, and that was a criticism of Price in reserve grade. Well, I mean, you may as well get the better attacker in there, that if they're all going to miss half a dozen tackles, then
yeah.
Get him in. And he was okay. I think it's been a bit overblown how well he played. He was decent, but let's not get carried away because I think they'll be coming at him this week, and I'm not sure which side will he... I'm pretty sure, will he defend on the left?
Well, he was on the right the other day.
Was he on the right? If he's on the right, fuck me. Hudson Young, anytime try scorer, load up.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I can't remember. I feel like he scored his try on the right-hand side.
Yeah, well, Hudson, double.
Yeah. Keep an eye on that one for sure. And also, while I've got you on the Knights, Daniel Saifidi told he can look elsewhere. Mm. How you feeling?
Yep, Mr. Vapor himself. Well, he actually played really good last week too, so maybe it's a kick up the arse he needs, because from what they're saying, we just got to free up cap space and we can't actually sign anyone else. So for me, Jaden Brayley, sorry mate, you got to go, you're on too much. That's been that way for a while. And they're saying Hetherington, apparently Hetherington was on 550 grand or 650 grand or something.
That's so much.
Who's doing the math there? Like, Jesus.
How many games has he even played?
Oh, fuck.
He's in and out.
Not enough, yeah. So, yeah, I think maybe we've got to look at guys like that, and potentially if Dan starts playing properly, well, then we can look at keeping him. But if, I don't know, they've got to try and figure something out, because we can't just shed players and bring in I really don't know who they're going to bring in, like, guys in reserve grade and stuff like that. A reserve grade's going like bustards. We've basically had one good player from reserve grade in Dylan Lucas, and he's found himself in first grade every week, and he's, I don't think he'll ever go back. He's done a great job. So I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know. We need a proper halfback. Jackson Hastings is on 750 or something as well. Fuck, I wouldn't feed him. I don't know what we're going to do. He's going to have his work cut out for him. Peter O'Sullivan, the new recruitment dude.
No one better in the game at it.
Oh, yeah, allegedly. Yeah, when you got Uncle Nick's paper bags, not fucking hard.
Our source on that, by the way, is, of course, the cheese, the hectic cheese. Yes. Kieran, what are your tips for round 18?
I have... the Rabbitohs off the back of that man, Chalmette, that's it. Sharks by plenty. Panthers, but I think the Broncos, I considered tipping the Broncos, but Panthers, I have gone the Bulldogs, who I think will make the finals if they win this game. Mm. Storm, Cowboys, Roosters, and Knights.
Okay. I am going to go for the Rabbitohs as well. The Eels, they look... I don't know if I've ever seen a better team running dead last at this time of the season. Like, with the likes of, like, you know, Gutherson, Brown, Moses, Pensini, Campbell Gillard, Polo, Madison, Cartwright even is pretty freakish. Like, that's not a last place team. But I still think the Rabbitohs should win that one. There's something about the Titans. There's just something about them. For some reason, I hate tipping against them. Sharks at home, though.
What's your favorite color, Bo? Is it light blue?
No. There's something... it's not that. I love an underdog. I love an underdog. And it goes to the Tigers as well. I hate tipping against the Tigers. I always get like a funny feeling they're going to win. And then they won like eight of the last 40 games.
The only one.
I will go the Sharks at home, I think. Interesting to see Daniel Atkinson, 5'8" legend, on the wing.
Yes, odd.
Mm. He is listed as a wing fullback / half in fantasy football, so it's nice to see that come to fruition. The Broncos game, which Kieran and the Big E are going to, this would be, what's the name of, Ben Ross, did he play for the Broncos for a bit?
Nah, just Panthers.
Sure.
You thinking of Joel Clinton, maybe?
I'm thinking of Joel Clinton. Yeah, the Joel Clinton Cup. The Broncos and the Panthers. Me? Yeah, well done. Well done, Freddy. A bit of NRL grid there for you. I'm going to go with the Panthers also. They rarely win lose two in a row, don't they? The Bulldogs against the Warriors. Gee whiz. Nigel Vunga in a cup. I'm going to go with the Warriors. I'm going to go with the Warriors on that one. They've got a better team, I think. Tigers and Storm. Can't tip against the Tigers. I will, though. I'll go for the Storm. The Cowboys against the Seagulls. It's nice that the Cowboys are favorites, but it worries me. So we'll see how that goes. I'll go for them. Roosters against the Dragons. Oh, geez, the Roosters, they look really, really good this year. They're really, really looking good. So I'm going to go for them. And I'm torn about this last one. The Raiders at home are a slightly different beast, and I like the look of KO Weeks at fullback. Adam Cook, a bit of direction at halfback. I'll go with the Knights on the back of KP having a blinder, hopefully. Boys, thank you very, very much. I didn't ask for bowl predictions, by the way. Do you guys have any, or should we just call it a day?
Bradman best to just fucking run over the top of everyone.
Will he run for like 300 meters again, do you think?
Well, I don't know. Maybe if he goes at bloody Adam Cook. Who's that?
I think Chris Waring would describe him as an AI generated legend.
Yeah, I'm taking a piece of...
It does sound a bit AI generated, doesn't it? Adam Cook.
Yeah,
a little bit. Cookie. Yeah, shout out to Cookie. Boys, thank you very, very much for your time. Friendy, any plans for watching the footy in your part of the world?
I'm doing Dry July. Can you believe that?
Congratulations. Yeah. Hey, how are you going so far? Three days in?
Sweet. Midweeks, no dramas. That's normal. Saturday will be the real test. We've got a pre-season cricket planning meeting, and it's at one of the local pubs. So
I've
got to make sure I get through that as I get the eye from the boss.
Does it count for non-alcoholic beer?
Oh, I won't have that. I don't drink it for the face, mate.
Fair enough.
I was trying to help. Have a very, very wholesome weekend.
Well, I hope you enjoy your wholesome weekend with Shell and Joey, of course. Kieran, enjoy the Friday night game. Do you have a prediction for me for the Panthers versus Broncos? Any scoreline predictions?
Panthers 200 plus. I'll say. I reckon whoever wins, I'll say it's by a try or less, so by 6 points or less. But I'm tempted to say, I'll say Broncos, even though I said Panthers before. I'll say Broncos.
Oh my god! Like we've turned you in 5 minutes into a Broncos fan, which makes me feel sick, to be honest. Thank you, boys, very much for joining me. And thank you to the Big E, of course, for his contribution. And thank you to the audience. We hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please subscribe if you haven't already. Give us a like on the socials, particularly Facebook. That's where most of the traffic is. And tune in next week when we talk about the squads that have been named for Origin 3. But until then... Above the Horizontal is a rugby league podcast by the fans and for the fans. It's produced by our entire team of former writers for Real Sport, including Daniel Friend, Christopher Waring, Miles Steppen, Kieran Gibson, and me, Bo Nicholson. We'd love it if you could support us by telling a rugby league fan about us so they can go above the horizontal as well. Thanks for listening. See you next time.